Have you ever woken to a sweet morning dream? Had your cup of coffee while it pattered on your window pane? Have you ever seen the sun going down?
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Come on in, say hello, where you are from, and if you have a business, what is your business? Because we are all about building relationships in this next half hour to 45 minutes, depending how active you all are with me. And we are here to help you get to know yourself, get to know each other, and do some networking. So don't be shy. Drop some info. Who are you? Where are you located? And what is your business? So who am I? I am Professor Angela. I am the personality professor, mayor of Biscotti Park, which you are in right now, a virtual village designed by 100 Coffees. And this is the Wynn Convention Center, which I am always excited to be here. So that's who I am. I would love to get to know who you are. And we're going to go through an aspect of relationships that maybe you're experiencing. Maybe you have seen it happen or are going through it yourself. I don't know. But we're going to talk today about opposites and how they attract and then attack. So let us know where you are tuning in from. We're streaming from a few different areas. We are in the coffee shop today at Holy Grounds across the street and in the Wynn Convention Center. And then I think we're also broadcasting out from the theater, the speaker's theater. So say hello. Hey, Robin, welcome, welcome. Awesome. So last week, this is February, right? February is love month. And so last week, we really went in depth about the love languages. So if you missed last week's episode, definitely tune in to that. If you search up in Wynn, you can search up personality and you should be able to see me. We're on here every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern-ish. Sometimes we do 1:15. Today, the landscaper decided to start landscaping right outside my window at 1. So we delayed for like 15 minutes because I didn't think y'all needed to hear that. So yeah, come on in, come on in. Hopefully this was helpful. You can also check out our episodes on Anchor as well under 100 Coffees Podcast. Check out this book, 5 Love Languages. It's amazing. And last week we talked about how each of the personality styles, which you'll see on your handout here, we use the same handout every week, and I'll pop it into the comments so you can grab it if you have never visited us before. So we use the same handout. Last week we went through how each of the personality styles translates the love languages, because love languages, they are languages, and languages need to be translated. Yes. So we talked about that last week. I would love to hear if you used that to help your Valentines feel more special and more loved, and to demonstrate your love in a way that they would receive that. I would love to hear about that. Hey, Miss Sandy. So Sandy is a life improvement advocate. Yes, Sandy's amazing. She is helps me run the speaker's theater. So if you're looking to become a better speaker or develop your signature talk, Sandy and I work with another partner, Jay, to make that happen. Hello, Facebook user. Welcome, welcome. Let us know who you are, where you are coming from, and what is your business. And don't be shy to drop your links. Don't be shy about dropping those links. All right. So today, last week we talked about love languages, which is awesome, right? And we talked about how we need to be aware of the behavior we're seeing from our partner. So we tend to speak in our native language, right? So whatever your native love language is, most likely that is the language that you speak with, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's the language your partner understands, because that might not be their native language, especially if you, like many of us, have chosen a partner who is your opposite. Okay, today's topic, we're talking about opposites. Now, opposites can mean different things, because as we go through here, we've been discussing, you know, you have outgoing people versus reserved people, right? Outgoing people are faster paced. They like to move quick, talk quick, make quick decisions. And then reserved people are slower paced. They like some time to process and think. They like to slow things down, do some research, right? Weigh their odds a little bit. Consider the risk factor, where outgoing people tend to just jump straight in and figure it out as they go. So that can be a form of opposites, right? If you have a mate who is very fast paced and you are not, you may feel very pressured by them to speed up your decision making, which makes you feel unsafe, because reserved people, they need to feel safe before they move or act or do anything. They want to know what to expect. What's going to happen if I step there versus over here, right? They want to watch somebody like go first ahead of them to make sure it's safe. And then they step behind them and follow them in the proven pathway that is safe, right? They do not like risk, and they don't like being pushed into risk. The opposite happens when you have a partner who is slower paced and you're fast paced, and you like to move and go, and you don't like to get stuck in all the details. Details weigh you down, right? Because you tend to jump in and just figure it out as you go. So when you have someone who's constantly saying, well, but how exactly is that going to happen? And how much time is that going to take? And do I need to pack this and that and the other? And hold on, let me learn this, or let me do this first. And they're constantly slowing you down or overwhelming you with details, right? So those can cause some conflict. And we do tend to marry, or at least are attracted to, our opposite, because they are not like us. And so at first we think, ooh, you are so interesting. I really enjoy the way that you think differently than me, or do things differently. Or maybe they just naturally do something that you've been working really hard to create and develop within yourself, and they just naturally do it. So you're like, ooh, I like you. You're interesting. I want to hang out with you more, right? At first. And then later, once you've been with them a while and you've been in their space, the things that drew you together tend to drive you nuts about that person, right? Because you're like, oh, geez, like, why are you so slow? Why do I have to slow down all the time? Why can't you just catch up? Don't you know that I'm already like 5 steps ahead of you? Can't you just be quicker, right? Or can't you just slow down? Don't you know that it takes me time to process? Like, every time you ask me a question, you should know I'm going to ask you a question back, because that's how I am. That's who I am, right? No one changed in this relationship. You've each been the same person you were when you came in, but time makes us forget that we appreciated those things in the beginning, and now we're like, that person drives me nuts. Right? So that's one form of opposite. Then, so that's here, outgoing and reserved, right? So I would love to hear, who are you? Are you outgoing or reserved? And who's your partner? So is your partner the same or opposite? The second possible way of being opposite is task people versus people. So these aren't pacing, these are priority, which is the most conflict. So people pacing, you can kind of adjust. Sometimes we don't want to adjust, but it's easy to adjust a pacing. It's easier, shall I say. Only 10% of the world's conflict is pacing. 90%, on the other hand, is priority. Because I can move faster or slower, but if my priority is a polar opposite to yours, we are probably going to have a problem at some point, right? If I value rules and regulations and the correct way of doing things so that things are done safely and correctly and accurately, and you are more concerned about people and feelings and inclusion of everyone, regardless of what the rules are, then at some point, we are going to have a topic or an issue that we are going to be on separate sides of. What happens if you're married to someone? Anybody's so glad that we are not in campaign season anymore, because households get divided over things like politics, religion, things where people ground their feet in and they say, right? I'm not going to budge with this on you. We are not going to discuss this. That's why your mom always said, don't discuss politics and religion at the dinner table, especially with company, because there will be an argument, right? This is because things that have different priorities doesn't mean either one's right or wrong. Different priorities will steer where you draw that line and where you will not budge. And you can be literally arguing for the same thing, but in different ways, because your priority is looking at different things. If my priority is on what is the rule, what is the logic? What is the process? How is that going to happen? Getting all of the things done accurately and quality in a timely manner. And that's my focus. And your focus is, well, yeah, but so-and-so got sick and so they were late and so they didn't get included and now their feelings are hurt and now there's all this repercussion. And they are a very important person, as all people are. So therefore, I am upset. Because your process has a flaw, in my opinion, right? Has anyone having these issues with their partner where you agree overall with things, but it's the details of how and who, how things got done? Well, were they done correctly? Well, what's the rule, right? Versus, well, but this person is very valuable and you should make an exception. Or maybe you should build in an exception into your process because now I see this person, a group of people who are being hurt by your process, right? So this causes a lot of pull in our relationships. And at first, like the pacing, we are drawn to each other because of these differences and because it excites us to debate and to discuss and to hear about how people process and see and how they filter the world through whether it's, you know, hey, A, B, C, and D, here's the process. Everybody needs to follow the process and we'll all get along fine versus the people and being so passionate about feelings of others and being with groups of people and elevating people and encouraging people can be very exciting and exhilarating to someone who lives in a very linear, step-by-step, wrong or right type of environment, right? And structure appeals to the person who is very fluid and very like, you know, go with the emotion of the day or whatever the main current is of concern of the day, is drawn to someone who is very structured and very routine because we crave that within ourselves, right? Those of us who are task focused, we crave the freedom and the life that we see someone who just kind of has their heart on their sleeve and they're just so full of emotion and passion and they look at that and go, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could be like that. And the opposite is true with people who are very fluid and they're just all over the place all the time and they kind of let their emotions and their passions drive them, right? Not much thought, not much process always into what we do. We look at the process-driven, task-oriented person and we say, man, I wish I was so focused like that. Do you know how much I could get done if I was that focused, right? I'm all over the place. I'm doing 5 million things at once. And look at them. They're like getting their stuff done. They're checking their list. And it's just amazing. I want to be like that. And so we're drawn together. But then time passes, right? Time passes and we forget that that very thing that drew us together makes us just go bonkers. When with that person, it's like nails on a chalkboard. When the detailed person starts poking holes in our logic or poking holes in why, well, that won't work because of this. No, you can't do that because of this. We don't like the word can't. Don't tell us we can't do something that is not going to work for us, right? And on the other side, what they look at us and say, like, really, where's the logic behind that? Where is the thought? Did you even think before you did that? No. No, I didn't. What's your point, right? So those things can really cause major conflict in your relationships. And that's 90% of those relationships. So let's check in with the gallery here. So we have outgoing, that's good. How about outgoing? How about task and people? How are you guys falling on those task and people? One outgoing and one reserved. Ooh, okay, so that's gotta be some interesting days in your relationship. Both outgoing, but in different ways. Ah, yes, because of that priority. One is towards people and one is towards working on their self and getting their stuff done, right? So outgoing, when we look at, let me pull up my chart here. So when we look at our chart, right? We have two outgoings. We have an outgoing to the left, which is outgoing towards tasks. And these people are very individualistic focused. They're driven to get their stuff done. They whatever is in their agenda, they are going to push their agenda. So if you are not on their agenda or you're going the opposite way, there will be separation. The outgoing and people-focused individuals, they're still outgoing, but they tend to be outgoing and moving towards other people, especially other people who are like them on similar paths because, yay, now I have a buddy and a team and we can all work together. It's way more fun that way, right? So you could find separation based on those priority lines of task versus people, even though you're in the same half of the circle as far as outgoing or reserved, right? I love a D blood and limb loss is optional when accomplishing a task. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's truly amazing. Yeah. So D's get pegged as the bad guys. They're just extremely driven. And because they are so driven, they like get it done no matter the cost and they count the cost later. They're like, okay, how many survived? How many did we lose along the way? And they're okay with that because their whole purpose is, this is my goal. Get in front of my goal and you will be obliterated. I'll stop once I get there and turn around to see if you're still here. But until I get to my goal, either you're with me or get out of my way. It's not personal. It's just how they're wired. Absolutely how they're wired. Yeah, task and people. That is the biggest opposition. I am more reserved and he is very outgoing. Interesting. So how does that land with task and people? So even if you are, so let me pull this up again. So even if you're both task or you're both people, you're gonna be driven towards how does that translate as far as outgoing and reserved? It's a pacing issue, right? So even if you're both on the task side of this graph, but one's outgoing and one's reserved, the task individual who's outgoing, that D, that is going to be pushing, and the C is going to be checking all the details and saying, well, but hold on, we need to make sure it's done correctly. And the D's like, oh, we'll fix it later. It's fine. Just move. Come on. You're holding me up. I got things to do. And the C's like, no. Wait. We can't do that until we do this. And you're skipping steps. And this causes frustration. Right? Even if you're both task-oriented. Same with people. Even if you both land on the people side, the outgoing people, they want to be with a lot of people. They want to move quickly and do it with as many people as possible. So they tend to like run, and like magnets, they grab people along the way. And then pretty soon, it's not just them running. They are now running in the middle of the pack with a bunch of people around them, all running in similar directions. They don't even have to be going to the same place, but if they're going in any kind of general direction, they grab you along. Oh, you're heading north? Well, come on, we're all going north. Well, yeah, but I'm going northwest and you're going northeast. That's okay. Run with us until you gotta venture off. Come on, let's all go together, right? We don't necessarily care that we end up in the same place. We just want you to come with us for the journey. That's the fun part. S's, as much as they also are people, they like the smaller crowd that is going at the same pace they are. They want steady consistency. They are still like this, their C counterparts in that reserved half. They still are concerned with, well, wait a minute. We all need to be on the same page. Where are you going? And where are you going to make get a partner so that we're all together? And they are more concerned about not leaving anybody behind and making sure everybody is provided for. So smaller groups are easier to do that in, right? Where I's, they're just running. They're like, come on, come join us. And if somebody has to drop off and take a side route, that's okay. It's okay because the farther they run, the more people they're grabbing. So if people fall out, other people come in, right? It's not a problem for an I. And S, if someone falls out as they're heading down the road, they're like, uh-oh, everybody stop. We lost someone. Back up. Where did we lose them? When was the last time you saw Sally? Where did she go? Right? S's want to make sure everybody stays safe and everyone who started out together is still there at the finish line, all safe, right? Yes. So let me check in with everybody. Here we go. I am more people. He is both. Oh, interesting. And we are a blend of everything. So I get very fascinated with the blends and how it, like when you're baking a cake, right? How you mix the ingredients and what ratio of each ingredient you put in determines the flavor of the cake. Right? Same with us. That whatever style we have been equipped with and the ratios of each of those styles, that's what comes out in our flavor and makes us who we are. So it's not something to, you take two cakes that taste differently and be like, oh, gee, I wish this cake tasted like this cake. You'd be like, yay, I've got two different flavor cakes. This is awesome. Right? At least I would, because I love cake. But as people, we don't do that. As people, whenever we're different from someone, we are like, oh man, I wish I was like that person. I need to water myself down and be more like that person. Or I need to add this other element to be like that person. Well, guess what? We already have that person. We don't need that person. They are already taken care of. What the world needs is you to step fully into who you are and claim in all your flavor and all your fullness of who you are. That's what the world needs. That's what your partner needs, whether they realize it or not. They were drawn to you and you were drawn to them because each of you has something the other one needs. And yes, at times it drives us nuts, but when we realize and we step back and go, okay, hold on. They didn't change. I didn't change. No, what happened is we're in a stressful situation, and we'll talk about stress next week. We're in a stressful situation. And so in stress, we kind of merge. We drift a little bit from our primary. So let me pull up our chart here again. So if my primary is I, and my secondary is S, when I get stressed, I tend to kind of drift a little bit into that S zone because that's my body's natural coping mechanism to understand and assess and protect myself while I'm figuring out what's going on. And then I can pop back up into my natural state. So all that's really happening when you have conflict in your relationships, any relationship, is that someone has gotten stressed and has shifted into their second gear, and the other person is continuing in first gear, and now all of a sudden, we're not aligned anymore. So things that go normally like clockwork, they don't work no more because someone just kind of went a little askew, just a little bit, just enough to mess up the works, right? So we're going to talk next week about how to help as partners, how to help each other kind of get back to our normal, and how to see when people shift gears and realize that that's what's going on. And sometimes we don't even realize when we're shifting gears. Sometimes we can get so far off kilter that we're like, what just happened? How did I even get here? Right? Has anyone ever done that? How did I even get here? Some people do that for so long that you can go years, and then you wake up one morning and you look at yourself in the mirror and you think, what am I doing? I don't even know who I am anymore. Anyone had a day like that? I had a day like that. Usually around 30s to 40s. Some people it hits later in life, like 50s, where you're like, wait a minute. I actually had a plan at some point and somehow I ended up here. And how did that happen? Right? That's because stress happened and you chose to adjust. And if you keep adjusting to your environment and over-adjust too much, now you've become a completely different person. But normally, that it takes time for that to happen, consistent over long periods of time of adapting. What we're talking about today is if you're having an off day and you're not jiving with your partner, things are just not clicking, you might want to stop a minute and go, huh, hold up. Okay. Am I good? Am I operating in normal modes? Am I stressed out? Is it me that's adjusting and we're just kind of button heads? Or have they adjusted and I haven't noticed because I'm all about me over here. I'm all doing me, right? We all walk through the world concerned about us and where we're going and what we're supposed to be doing, right? We just happen to bump into each other along the way. So take some self-inventory. Hold on, am I going through some kind of stress? Have I adjusted a little bit? Be aware of it, right? Or are they going through something? And then, of course, your choices, which we'll talk about next week, are do you engage and help them? Do you step out of the way and let them through, right? Maybe they don't need your help. Maybe they got it figured out. They just need to like speed up or slow down or look at some details or free up their mind a little bit, right? Whatever the case is, they might not need you to fix it. Maybe you just need to sidestep and let them whoosh past you so they can come back and be themselves again, right? I am such an I, says Sandy. Me too, Sandy. That's why we get along so well. God did this to me. Yes, he did. He did. Yeah. And he knew. So someone was saying, I was listening to a podcast yesterday and someone was saying, I wonder sometimes what God thinks when he looks at me and the things that I do. And I was thinking to myself, I was thinking, God is not surprised by anything that we do because he created us this way. He knew that when you meet this person that you are now partnered with in life, right? He knew who you were. He knew who they were. And he also knew what would happen when he mixed the two of you together. He knows. So there's no surprise to him. You don't have to change who you are. He made you this way. All you got to do is know who you are and understand the environment you're in and understand the people that you choose to let into that environment and that you have choices of how to interact with them. Okay? That's all it is. It's choices. It's understanding, it's awareness, it's choices. All right? Even personal development. So we are in the convention center, which is in part of the village, and all of us here are about personal development, whether we're on our own personal development journey, which we all should be, especially if you're leading anyone else. We don't stop personal development till we stop breathing, right? So if you're on your own personal development journey, or you're helping someone else develop, right? There's this constant awareness of who we are, who they are, and the choice of how you're going to interact with them in the environment, and even the environment that you are creating and holding around you, right? Very, very important. So the other, so last, before I let you go for today, the most dangerous oppositions are when we have what I call diagonals, when we partner with people who are on the diagonal. So we've been talking about just like task versus people, outgoing versus reserve, right? Which is like top and bottom, right and left, right? What happens when you partner with someone who is the diagonal on this chart from you? So an I and a C, a D and an S. This happens quite frequently because they are polar opposites. They are opposite in every possible way. Not only are they opposite in their pacing, right? Slow and fast, outgoing, reserved, but also their priority. So there's not even a common ground when you have polar opposites, right? When you are opposite with someone on pacing or on priority, but you share in common with them the other aspects. So maybe you're both outgoing, but you have different priorities. At least when things go south or you're stressed, you can always meet together on that you're outgoing, right? If you're both reserved, same thing, that you can meet where you're alike. That's your safe, like home base, right? You come together in the areas that you share that are similar. But what happens for those of us who marry our exact opposite, or you're in some kind of relationship, even if it's not marriage, maybe it's business, with the exact opposite, and you have no common ground to come together on? What do you do with that, right? That is the most dynamic of relationships, because when it's working, what happens is all the gaps that you have get filled with the other person, right? And you come together and you make this amazing united front. But when things go badly, you rip each other to shreds because you are such opposites. So with polar opposites, they can be the most beautiful of relationships and the most destructive of relationships. So for these, if you're finding yourself in the destruction mode of opposites being opposite to each other, you have to learn to develop communication tools, because it's going to be a choice of who is going to be the first one to step across the line and extend the olive branch and try to make connection, right? So this is a little trickier. This is where I invite people, if this is you, you may want to check yourselves in to our virtual resort and do some couples time with us, where we guide you through and help you work out communication skills and things like Sandy mentioned, right? That you have like inside jokes that you can play with each other, where it gives the other person that, like, oh, okay, got it. There's nothing wrong. It's just we're having a little disagreement, or we're butting heads on certain things. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean I don't respect you. It doesn't mean I don't care about what you're upset about. It just means that right now we're clashing. So it gives you like a secret language or secret tools that work for your relationship, so that you can step back and take a look at the bigger picture. And then when you do come back together, you realize that it's not personal. And that way, whatever is said or whatever is done, It can be dealt with and then you move forward, right? You don't take it with you. Don't let it hold you down. Don't let it change who you are, because there's nothing wrong with who each of you are. You're just having a moment of disagreement. That's all it is. That's all it is. So if that's you, message me for information and we can let you know about our new service of checking into the virtual resort and getting some time kind of to unplug and work on your relationship, whether that's one-on-one, whether you want to come in individually. What we do and what we teach works even if both parties don't come. Even if just one of you is like, you know what, I want to work on this. I want to have a better relationship. Even if the other person, it's not like counseling. You don't both have to come. If one person does the work and understands how to read the other person and how to adjust, you can still have total peace and joy and happiness in a relationship, even if the other person has no clue what you're doing. They will eventually go, I don't understand how, what's different about you? How come we're not fighting as much? How come this, right? And if you choose to share with them the tools or bring them to a retreat with you and do it together, work on it together, awesome. But you don't have to. People do see results even if only one person works on it. But today I've been working on a freebie for you all. So let me grab that. So we have a new book. It's an ebook and you can grab it. Just message me for your free copy and I will send you the link to get it. And what it has, it goes beyond what we do here. Here we kind of stick to two questions and what I call on-the-fly assessment, right? So on-the-fly assessment, you can absolutely use, but what this book does is I've taken my 20 plus years of hands-on experience and results that I've gotten in program that I've created and put it into a distilled 6-question assessment. And once you go through these 6 questions, then you can tally up your scores. And I have written out a page, results page, for each of the blends that you possibly could get, like the ratios, all the blends that you could possibly come up with from those 6 questions. And it will tell you, your traits. It will tell you your ideal mate, the style of your ideal mate. So if you're shopping for your ideal mate, it'll tell you that. Your ideal accountability partner. So if you're looking for someone to help you grow what in any area of life, it'll help you. Accountability partner and mate are different. Okay, those are different. The accountability partner is designed for peace and happiness and joy your life. Okay. So 2 different things and not the same thing. Okay. It also shows you how you handle stress. And I believe it's in there how you lead as well. 5 aspects. So 5 aspects to you based on 6 questions that I have developed through my 20 plus years of using this in corporate, in direct sales, in couples coaching, in individual coaching. And it's free for you. Hot off the presses today, just loaded it. So if you want a copy, message me. And if you want to contact me and connect with me to chat about this or ask me any questions that you like, you can also follow us on Clubhouse. We are on Clubhouse. You can connect with me on, it's at 100 Coffees. That is me. And once you follow me on Clubhouse, anytime I go live or open a room, you can follow me into that room. And we will be opening a Clubhouse room at 2:05, which is in about 10 minutes from now on Clubhouse. So if you are listening live, come on over to Clubhouse and you may ask me 1 question about any relationship. And I will walk you through those on-the-fly 2 questions. And you can also grab that free copy of His Masterpiece, is the name of it. And you can find 5 aspects of who you are I believe it also is your ideal environment. So it's either ideal environment or leadership style. I might have separated out leadership style because that's a whole training on its own. If you're wanting to be a leader, this can be an amazing tool for that as well. All right. Well, I hope this helped you. This was enlightening and entertaining. So this handout, I will make it available in the comments below if you haven't grabbed it yet, and you can play with that. You can ask those two questions to anyone in your life. And if you want the free copy of the ebook, just message me and ask for it, and I will send you the link on that. Otherwise, I am going to go hang out in Clubhouse for a little while and answer any questions, and then I will be over at the coffee shop across the street at Holy Grounds. You can always find us there as well. So let me see if there's any last questions before we head on over to Clubhouse. Nope, I do not see any other questions. Awesome. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out with me. And I will see you either on Clubhouse or in the coffee house across the street. Have an awesome rest of your day, everyone. Bye.
Have you ever woken to a sweet morning rain? Had your cup of coffee while it pattered?